Dear friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us once again this week for another lecture in our pre-chamber series. And we'd like to give continuation to the work that we initiated last week as we started talking about the Stone of the Sun, this Aztec calendar, because still to this day, some people tend to think that this calendar is of Maya origin. And last week, when we came together, we left our lecture on the Wheel of Days. We know that there are two circles that are enclosing the central figure called Tonatiuh. And we know that Tonatiuh is the luminous one who warms us, who keeps us warm. And within this very first circle, we have a wheel that segregates the time in small periods of five consecutive days. In this calendar, the month is split in 4 weeks, and the year is made up of 18 consecutive months. And when we put all that together, it adds up to 360 days, plus or minus 5 days and 6 hours that are meant to be of service. These 20 days are found veiled. They are hidden within the Borgia Codex. And what we have here is this image of the smoking mirror, this black creature that you see here. This is one of the four children of the Lord and Lady of Duality. And all of these 20 days are scattered in this image with a very specific purpose. What we will do is that we will go in detail over these 20 days, because the symbols that you see here are symbols that most likely you have already been seeing in your dreams. And it is important that we learn to relate what these symbols are with the dreams so that we can further extract wisdom from what the innermost shares with us when we are enjoying of our astral experience. So this Wheel of Days is called the Tonali. And the Tonali or Tonali is the Wheel of Destiny. This is the Wheel of Days. And maybe we should not be saying the Wheel of Destiny, but the Wheel of Fate. Because destiny implies that there is some fatalism along the way. While the Wheel of Fate, the word fate, stands more for oracle or for a communication that comes from a source of divinity. Now, this wheel is read counterclockwise. And when we read this, we need to start right there where you see that ray of light that appears as a horn at the very top of the head of Tonatiuh. There is an image right there of a crocodile. So we start right there. And from that point, we start moving towards the left and we read the Wheel of Days counterclockwise. Again, weeks of 5 days, months of 4 weeks, and years of 18 months. And our first day is called Cepacli. Cepacli is an alligator. And this alligator is a symbol of the innermost. But this alligator is also a symbol of the ego. Depending on the context in which the story is being read, on which the dream is being interpreted, this crocodile would be the innermost, and it would be found in a swamp. It is found in a swamp because our creative waters today are not of their best quality. But this innermost devours the ego. On the other hand, if we see this crocodile attacking us, well, this would be a symbol of the ego as it threatens to devour us. So on day number one, we see an image of the innermost, or we see an image of the ego. And notice how when we observe Tezcatlipoca, this smoking mirror upon which the tapestry of creation is reflected, we see that this crocodile is veiled under his left foot. Now, the left side is known as the sinister side. This is the side that brings in challenges and difficulties, while the right side is more indicative of the path of righteousness. So here we see Tezcatlipoca stepping on this crocodile. It is, as a force of creation, standing upon the innermost, because the innermost becomes the foundation of all of the great work, or it is standing on the ego to crush it, to destroy it, annihilate it, and free up the consciousness. Day number two is Ehecatl, and Ehecatl is the god of wind. It is motion. It is the representation of that principle of vibration where nothing stands still in creation. And Huracán for the Aztecs was the heart of the heavens. So here we see activity, motion, vibration, frequency, energy, and action. And we see Ehecatl at the very tail of the battle gear of Tezcatlipoca. Because this battle gear has this protrusion in the back, like a tail. It is a symbol of the extension of the spine. And like a rocket, it invites motion and energy. As a symbol of the spine, it invites, well, the manifestation of the fire of Kundalini. And it is inviting to put it into motion, to set it into activity. So if anything, it is conveying that message that says, seek true wisdom. Day number three is Kali. And Kali is a house. This house, every time that we see a house in our dreams, that becomes a representation of our physical body. If we are seeing that the house is in very poor condition, disorganized, dirty, broken, with holes in the walls, well, that gives us an idea on what is it that we may be doing with our body and perhaps hurting it. But this house, having some dualistic meaning, it is also a symbol of the superior existential bodies of the being. These are the solar, physical, astral, mental, and causal bodies that we must fabricate through the work and the super dynamic of love. So when we see the house, notice how the foundation, this house, is at the very base of the spine of Tezcatlipoca. As in saying, the fire that exists here is the fire that enables the crystallization of these superior vehicles that are necessary, and thus it is inviting of us to protect the temple. Of course, we can think about all this work that we must complete when it comes to creating the superior existential bodies of the being. But for the time being, as we are methodically doing the work, we must protect this temple because it has been written. This body is not ours, but it is indeed a gift from God. And within the writings of the Apostle Paul, it clearly states that within our body exists the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it is asking of us to protect the temple based on the impressions that we receive, what we lend our ears to. How is it that we use our creative waters? How we abuse of our intellectual, emotional, motor centers of the machine. Day number four is called Quetzalcoatl. And Quetzalcoatl is a lizard. And the lizard being so easily associated to the element of earth, it is speaking about balance, about harmony, and about equanimity. Because it is necessary that we learn to develop emotional stability as we deal with the many challenges that life will throw at us. And notice where this lizard exists. Harmony, equanimity leads the way of the practitioner. And not only leads the way, but we are seeing here that the tail of this lizard is connected to the area of the creative organs of Tezcatlipoca. So it is also indicating there must be harmony, equanimity on the use of our sexual creative forces, on our creative power and our creative abilities. Day number five is Coatl. And Coatl means serpent. Of course, it could be on its dark aspect, the tempting serpent of Eden, Or it could be an aspect of light, the winged serpent of light that liberates and transforms us. And as we observe Tikkakalipoca, we see then that the serpent is a direct connection to the creative organs, as in saying, we must transmute of our waters. So far we have here 5 days, and we see this representation of divinity, that we could take it in a way to be the representation of each sincere practitioner. And it is a, you must crush the ego, you must set your work in motion, and do everything you must to protect the temple. Lead the way with harmony, spend life with equanimity, and transmute your creative waters. And we can take this message simply by doing a very incipient, superficial interpretation of the symbols themselves. Imagine how much more we can get if we focus on a deep meditation. Well, let's go into day number six, because day number six is Mikitsli. And Mikitsli is death. It is on one aspect, the cessation of the senses. It is in one aspect, the elimination of those inferior aspects that we carry within. But it is also a symbol of transformation. It is indeed the crown of life. And we see that Mikitsli, as a symbol of death, is within the bundle of arrows that Tezcatlipoca, as he is dressed with his battle gear, with the bundle of arrows that he is carrying into the battleground. And these arrows are a symbol of our sexual libido. So this symbol is specifically saying that we must use of our creative impulses, all of these creative waters, for the elimination of everything that is inhumane in each and every one of us. Day number seven is Masatl. And Masatl is a deer. And the deer is either a symbol of willpower or a symbol of the human soul. In either one of those two aspects, it is well defined and well understood. And as we see Masatl, as day number seven, well, notice where we find it. It is an emanation that comes from the very crown of Tezcatlipoca, emerging from the pineal gland, where we can see that this particular symbol of the human soul, it projects itself like the fire of Pentecost, just those flames that emerge from the heads of the apostles, which is the same effect of the halo of light that we see surrounding the heads of the saints, the angels, and the archangels. Day number eight is Tochli. And Tochli is a rabbit. And the rabbit, well, in this case, is characterized with its long ears because it emphasizes the listening. But this is no common rabbit, because instead of having two regular big incisives, it has two very aggressive fangs. And it is speaking about how important it is that we become aggressive to what we give our ears to. We must be very discerning. We must be very determined. And that discerning, that determining, that aggressiveness has to do with our ability to focus exclusively on the things that will help transform ourselves. And notice where we find the rabbit. This rabbit is also attached to this bundle of arrows, but as a flag. It is connected to the flag of self-sacrifice, because it is difficult for us at times to speak up and to tell our friends, let's not talk about these things. Let's not bring these topics, more so in days like the days that we live today, where it is so easy to get caught up in certain topics, identify with them, fascinate with the topics, and fall into the deep slumber of the consciousness, daydreaming about so much tragic stuff. Day number nine is Atl. Atl is water. And this water is associated always with our sexual creative waters. The Kabbalistic number nine of this day indicates that these waters relate to Arcanum Nine, which is the Arcanum of the Hermit. And these waters associated with initiation, they speak of sacrifice, of solitude. They speak of us having to allow ourselves be led by the guidance of the innermost, by the three forces of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see the innermost here as a beautiful parallel. We also see the three forces of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as those three emanations. And we find Aten on the very head of Tezcatlipoca. And because water reflects the heavens above, when there is a calm lake, we can see the reflection of the sky, the sun, and the clouds. And at night, we can clearly see the reflection of the stars. It is a mirror at the very crown. This is saying that as we transmute of our waters, we need to bring this transmuted product up into the chalice of the brain. And not only that we must work with our mind so that the mind is calm, so that the mind remains receptive, and that we can perceive the greater things that exist beyond the mind itself. Day number 10 is a dog. The dog is called Isquintly. And this dog is a symbol of friendship. It represents gratitude, instinct, and loyalty. So whenever we see a dog in our dreams, if we see a white dog, it is a friend that is helping us. If we see a black dog, it is a friend that is leading things to change, or is an indication that circumstances are going to change themselves. And we find this dog at the very tip of the arrows that symbolize the sexual libido. And this is saying this sexual creative force is your friend. It is there to help you destroy the ego. But also, we must exercise loyalty to our Father who is in secret by safeguarding this sexual creative force. Day number 11 is a monkey. The monkey is Osomatli. And the monkey is notorious because of its agility to climb trees. And this is important because we know that in the Garden of Eden, there are two very key trees. There is a tree of the science of good and evil, and then there is the tree of life. Both of these trees connected with one another because they share the same roots. And these trees are symbolized within our own because the tree of the science of good and evil, which is that tree from which Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, well, all those ancient artistic representations show that tree growing from within the sexual organs. And we see the tree of life growing from a combination of the mind and the heart. And the monkey, being notorious for its ability to climb a tree, well, it speaks then of beauty and harmony. Beauty in the work that we do as we laboriously climb the tree of life, and harmony in the way we get the work done. Harmony with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with people in our community, with ourselves. And notice how close this monkey is to the heart. It is speaking of everything that we do, every impulse, every thought, every action, every sentiment. It must be done with intelligence, and it must also be done with beauty. Day number 12 is the Malinali. And here we have a combination of grass and herbs. This represents the forces of creation. The Malinali is present at the very crown of Tezcatlipoca. These herbs, these forces of creation, as an indication that there must be tenacity. We have seen how many herbs, grass, how is it that it even grows through the cracks of the hot burning pavement because it is that tenacious. And we must bring that very same tenacity into our work. It is also combined with those forces of heaven, because it is telling us you're not alone. There are always superior forces waiting to provide you of the help you need. But it is necessary that we ask. It is necessary that we knock on the door, because it has been written, ask and you will receive, knock and it will be opened. Day number 13 is Acatl. And Acatl is a cane. And a cane is always symbol of the spine. As a symbol of the spine, because we know that when we see a cane, for example, a bamboo cane, we can notice the very distinct knots. And each one of those knots is a symbol of the 33 degrees that the fire must rise, of the 33 vertebrae that we must conquer as the fire continues to rise. Because every time that the fire rises and it illuminates one of these chambers in the spine, it happens because there are different departments of nature that are active within our own constitution. Specific in this case is the department of the elementals of the cedar trees. You have seen how all of the great doors in cathedrals are made of these massive solid doors. All of these doors are made out of cedar. And the angels of the Department of the Cedar Trees, well, they work with us opening and closing the doors, each one of these chambers. And every time they allow for the fire to enter, they open those doors based on the merits that exist in our heart, the faculties associated with that specific location. They are all awakened. All those powers, virtues, attributes, they are provided to the practitioner, given as a reward of mastery. And here we see this vertebra. Here we see this cane, specific coming out of the head of Texcalipoca. This is a symbol of the fire of wisdom. We must intelligently help guide this fire. And the only way that we can guide it intelligently is by observing our thoughts, our sentiments, and our actions. So they are always done, not seeking to self-satisfy our desires, but seeking to serve as a sacrifice for others. Day number 14 is Ocelotl. And Ocelotl is a jaguar. This is a feline. This tiger, this jaguar, this cat is a symbol of courage. It's a symbol of strength. But this is the strength and the courage that is necessary for us to observe our own shortcomings. If you come across a feline in your dreams, well, that feline is going to be an indication that we must develop a sagacity of the mind, that we must learn to make ourselves ready to pounce, like when a cat is getting ready to jump on its prey. But we must do the same, observing our own defects. We must learn how to maneuver in ways that are very clever and intelligent, because our own defects have a degree of cleverness that always surprises every practitioner. Notice how this cat, this jaguar, is on his right foot, on the path of righteousness, saying, we must walk the path of righteousness. Every step that we take must be taken with sagacity. Must do it like the clever hunter, so that we do not step somewhere where we could get ourselves into trouble. Day number 15 is Quahuitli. And here we find an eagle. Eagles are always a symbol of the Christ. Every time that we see a high-soaring bird in our dreams, it is a symbol of the innermost, a symbol of the Christ, symbol of the Father. It is a symbol always of the force of love. And this symbol of the Christ is at the very top of the spine. Notice that in the location where it is right there at the base of the skull, next to the ears. And what this symbol is stating is, listen to the silent voice. Listen to the voice of your Father who is in secret. Guide yourself in this path by the direction of the innermost. Day number 16 is Coxcacuahuitli. And this is a vulture. And the vulture is known because it feeds itself from rotting matter. It will eat carcasses. And it serves a very specific purpose in the economies of nature. And thus, we see this vulture as the center of the shield. This vulture is here to tell us we must defend ourselves against all adversities. We must destroy everything that is inferior, because with that, we satisfy the economy of nature itself. In one of our many lectures in our pre-chamber, we speak about two substances that exist within the human body. These are subtle ethereal substances. One is known as Abrus Donis, and the other one is known as Health Donis. And when we are working on the transmutation of our creative waters, when we are working, observing our actions and safeguarding our creative power, they combine themselves and create a sacred substance called Din. And that Din becomes available as a source of energy for our spiritual work. When we observe our defects, so we invoke the power of the Divine Mother to see them reduced to a cosmic dust. Every time that a defect is reduced, that this vulture eats on that putrefaction, the consciousness is liberated. Whatever is trapped within the ego escapes. And we naturally release from our body a substance that is called ascoken. Ascoken nourishes the earth. And ascoken exists within our blood. When we eliminate our psychological aggregates, we release ascoken, and the planet as an organism receives that material to feed itself. With the degeneration of the Aztecs and the many other ancient cultures that we have seen that have fallen into the space of blood sacrifices, they knew that the ascoken existed in the blood. They lost the way on how to transmute it because of degeneration, and they resorted to sacrificing people to release the blood, to release the ascoken, and thus, quote-unquote, gain the favor of the gods. But that is not the way in which the ascoken must be released. We must transmute it. We must allow this vulture to destroy these egos so that we can naturally contribute in a way that is organic with the economies of nature. Day number 17 is Olin. And Olin is movement. Here we see a symbol of the earthquake. Here we see action and reaction. And notice how this one exists within the creative larynx. This movement, this thunder, is there reminding us that the word creates. And as a consequence, we must be very careful with how we say that we use our words, because we can use them to bring blessings, create serenity, or we can use the power of the word to bring despair and destruction. Day number 18 is Tecpatli, and this is a blade of obsidian. We saw this very same blade in the tongue of Tonatiuh. And this blade symbolizes willpower. It is the motto of every sincere practitioner, every sincere Gnostic student, which is Telema. And we see Tecpatli at the level of the waist, right there with the creative organs, because it is indicating we must eliminate our weaknesses. Day number 19 is Cuauhtitl. And Cuauhtitl is rain. It is the life that emerges from above. It is the water that fecundates the earth. And we find Cuauhtitl leading us, as in the divine help leads the way. The right use of the creative waters, seeking to merge the waters of above with the waters of below with the waters of above. Well, that is what leads the way of the practitioner. And last, day number 20 is called Soshitu. And this is a flower. Flowers are always symbols of the virtues and the attributes of the innermost. If you see yourself receiving flowers, well, that could be a reflection of what happened during the day when you used of the faculties and the virtues that are slowly growing in you in benefit of others. But you could see yourself walking in a field of flowers or receiving many flowers. And as you look into your life, you notice that you have not been focusing on any internal transformation, that you have been selfish, that you have not cared about the needs of others. And then that symbol becomes an opposite, reminding you, look what is available to you. Realize what is happening within your daily lives so that you can come and enjoy of these virtues and of these faculties. So flowers are always a symbol of virtues and attributes of the innermost. It is, after all, the purpose of the great work. And notice the flower emanating from the mouth of Tezcatlipoca. Not only there has to be willpower, beauty, and aesthetics so that we can live a rightful life, right, a life of right action, right thought, and right sentiment. As we speak, we must speak beautiful things. And those are the 20 days that we find in the Tonali. Now, we know that this is a lot to take, and we don't expect you to become an expert in any one of these symbols, but take away some of their meanings and be watchful of the symbols that you find and you come across during the day. Be watchful of the symbols that you come to receive at night, where you are enjoying of your astral experience, and take note of those in your Gnostic journal. Notice them as you do your exercises of retrospection so that you don't miss what the innermost tries to communicate to you. Now notice that this stone is surrounded by eight rays. There are four primary rays and there are four secondary rays. And these rays, all together, they add up to the number eight. The number eight speaks of sacrifice. It speaks of serenity, patience. This is an indication that all of this work is work that takes time, that we don't have to rush ourselves, that we have to focus on the work, because eventually the work will take us there, rather than focusing on making it to the goal line, to the end line, and missing of the beauties and the light that we can receive on the path. But these eight rays, they also show two crosses. They represent the regular cross that we know of the vertical and the horizontal of the horizontal path. But it also shows an X like the cross of St. Andrew. This two crosses combined are a symbol of the rune Gibur that we speak of in our first chamber's lectures. This rune Gibur is a very powerful symbol of the activity, the creative waters, the activity of the union of the man and the woman in the super dynamic of love. But these two crosses also make up a very specific rune called the rune Hagal, which is a rune that we learn in our intermediate levels on how to work with the elemental gods of nature so that we can work with the gods of air, water, air, fire, and ask for their healing, for their protection, for their guidance. These rays of the sun are here a little bit more visible to you. Notice that as we put these two crosses together, because they represent the cross in motion, they are the Rune Gibur and a swastika. And we should not become too caught up with the psychological effect of the way that the swastika was used by the Nazis back in the first half of the 20th century, because we know that these are powerful energies that were used with a destructive purpose. But the swastika has been part of all of the world's great cultures, and it exists in many different ways. We see one here as a symbol of love, kindness, equanimity, humanity in the heart of the Buddha. You can also see here the representation of the X as the cross of St. Andrew. And this these particular eight rays of the sun, they are all connected, entwined by this thing called the Chalchi Huitl. The Chalchi Huitl is a collection of precious stones that they are all entwined together. These are precious stones of jade. And notice that each one of them carries within the number five. The number five is always a number that we can associate with karma. It speaks of action and consequence. It speaks of action and reward, but it also speaks about actions and retributions. And all of these 20 days of the Tonali are surrounded by a wheel that is the wheel of karma. It is reminding us that all of these opportunities exist and that it is up to us to do the work. Because after all, there is only one law. Do as you wish, but remember, you will be accountable for each one of your actions. And as you observe, there is also a symbol of the four elements in this particular ring. We find that there are many eagle feathers, but we all already know that the eagle is a symbol of the Christ. So all of these feathers together are a symbol of radiance, as if we were looking literally at the sun. And we will see that as emanations of those rays of the sun, that there are pearls. Those pearls are a symbol of our innermost, but not just one, but of the many monads that emerge from the great sun, monads that come in waves and that they start going through their cycles of transmigration until they go through successive incarnations to the moment in which they can receive their physical body and continue working to transcend, to take the leap onto the other side. Notice that each one of these symbols of the four elements, well, they are also encompassing, just holding onto a Chalchi Huitl with a number five. That indicates here, in this realm of duality, there's karma. And we must learn to negotiate with the law. We must learn to fight the lion of the law, Master Samael says, with the scale. And what that means, it all depends on our actions. What this is saying is that intentions don't count. The true thing that is important here is the action and the consequence that the action generates. And this is why it is so important for us to lead our lives by the direction of our innermost, by the inner guidance, and not to be taken actions by our fears, our insecurities, by the concern of what anyone may or may not say. There are also here symbols of drops of blood. And blood is always a symbol of fire. And fire reminds us of those harsh emotions that when we don't control them, they consume us on the inside. But notice that in each one of those pedestals where we find these elements, there are three feathers. And these three feathers stand like the attributes of divinity. They are love, power, and truth. And beyond this, we see that this is all contained by two serpents. This serpentine binary is called the Siukoapu. One of these serpents is a serpent of light, and the other one is its opposite, serpent of temptation. So one of these serpents is Kundalini. The other one is the Kunda buffer organ. Kundalini liberates us. The Kunda buffer organ that is also symbolized by the tail of Satan. This is the one that hypnotizes us. This is the one that very slowly lures us into temptation. that it guides us with lies and justifications to satisfy our desires and justify many of our mistakes. And we find that these two serpents, they come to clash with each other. Notice that they emerge from a common point at the top, and they come to face each other at the very bottom. So these two faces that we see here, we see one of them, Tonatiuh, and the other one is Xiuhtecuhtli. Tonatiuh, because Tonatiuh is not only a representation of the luminous one who keeps us warm. This luminous one who keeps us warm, many eons ago found himself as a practitioner, perhaps like you and me. It is not only a prototype of perfection. It is not only a symbol of divinity, but it is also a great master. It is also a force of creation. It is all of these things together. And here we find Tonatiuh as the one that leads us to liberation. We see him with his nose attribute, and we see the other one, Xiuhtecuhtli, as the one that lures into temptation. Both of them with their tongues sticking out. One, because one uses the power of the word to create. The other one, because it uses the inherent power of the word to mislead, to confuse, to move you into adverse circumstances. Lamentably, we tend to listen to that whispering voice of temptation, thinking that we're always in control. And we, more often than not, come to find that we are in deep troubles when it may be a little too late. But notice that they both have this headgear that shows seven half-open eyes. In one case, we see the source of temptation with these seven half-open eyes, as in you are able to see only half of the truth. You are blind to the temptation itself. You are blind to the manipulation that the ego plays within the psyche. And on the other hand, in the head of Tonatiuh, these seven half open eyes, they teach us that we must learn to see the good and the bad as much as the bad in those things that come across as good. There is a flaming symbol called the Rachinoli, and this symbol has some flames coming out of it. The body of each one of these serpents is made by 10 of these particular ones. And what we see inside the Rachinoli is a chiseling, an engraving of an agave, amagay. And the agave is a plant that is used in much elemental work of magic for protection, for guidance, to help guide positive, constructive, creative thoughts, and to bring back those practitioners who veer off the path of light slowly into the path of darkness. So we see an agave plant here, and we see that there is one other tlachinoli, one more of these flaming symbols. In total, there are 22 of these, and 22 is always the arcanum of return. It is when things come back to their source of origin. And this is true for so many things. It is true for the seasons. It is true for the tides. It is true for the days of the week. It is also true for the soul to come back to its source of origin, not only as a new opportunity, repeating cycles of life as new opportunities, but also coming back to its source of origin at the end of all the cycles, at the end of the cosmic day, at the end of the work of mastery being completed. Because there are 11 and 11, the number 11 is always related to matrimony. 11, when we add it together, 1 and 1 is 2, and that has to do with the association of ideas. So what the bodies of these serpents are telling us He said, we must learn to relate to each other. We must learn to see the good in the bad and the bad in the good. We must realize that we have blind spots on our own psychological aggregates that can become our own demise. This is telling us that when we put together this wisdom, we have the opportunity of seeing the fire awaken in us and to emerge triumphant from what life is as a path of initiation. And at the very top, from where these two serpents emerge, we can see the 13 Atl. Atl, you already know that it is Cain. The 13 are the 13 units that you can count on the engraving itself. These 13 are not there by mistake. Because by now, you have been going through enough lectures that you know that the 13 stands for the Arcanum of Death. And you know that it means transformation. You know that it means the death of the ego, the liberation of the consciousness. But this 13 means more than that as well. Because these 13 spheres are 13 eons. These are what are known as the 13 repentances of Pistis Sophia. Here we see 13 spheres that make up the 10 spheres of the Tree of Life, plus the 3 spheres of the Absolute, which are the unmanifested light, the uncreated light, the unmanifested or uncreated space, and the Ein Sof Aur, which is the ray of creation that enables the crystallization of gods and universes, etc. Everything is contained here within this stone of the sun. And as we look at the side of the stone, because the stone is three-dimensional, we see that the side of the stone is engraved with the song of the stone itself, the chanting of the stone. And these are all symbols of the many different parts of our being. As you continue into the intermediate level in the advanced studies, you will come to see that the innermost is made of many parts. Because just like the Father, the innermost is a multiple perfect unity. And we go through a lecture in which we speak about the 49 different parts that make up our innermost. Because in our innermost, we find contained the 24 elders of the zodiac. We find the 12 salts or the 12 apostles. We find the 7 degrees of fire. We find the manifestation of the 4 elemental gods. We find our guardian angel, our internal guru, the divine mother. We find the internal police of karma, etc., etc. All of them adding to these 49 parts. But notice that there are butterflies engraved. And those butterflies are a symbol of the soul. These butterflies are a symbol of Venus, planet of love, affinity, attraction, magnetism. And we see that there is also an engraving of a shell. That shell has been sliced in half. It is a seashell. And as a seashell, it speaks of the wisdom of the waters. And when that shell has been sliced in half, that means that that wisdom has been given. It is available. It is reachable. It is allowed to flow. What we see here is what is known as the Eje Kailakoxcatl, a combination of the shells of Quetzalcoatl, a symbol of the Christ, combination of butterflies, which are attributes of the soul, symbol of the soul, love, affinity, attraction, and we see them together, all of the different parts of the being that when united make up the multiple perfect unity. Let's bring this to an end with a prayer from the Tlamantimine, who are the initiated masters of the ancient Mexico. And they say, may the sons of enthusiasm illuminate your path. May the skunk sing before your ways. May the fireflies of wisdom illuminate your intellect. May the murmurs picker grant you shade for your rest. May the emerald frogs show you the way with their never-ending croak. And may she, nature, be prodigious with thee. May the universal force guide you and bless you. And this is everything that we can share in these two limited lectures specific to the Stone of the Sun. We are always very grateful to our instructors who came together and put together, crafted this Christmas message, and who, through much sacrifice, efforts, and unfoldments, they came back with all of this wisdom to put it in drawings so that all those of us who are still not at that level, that we can enjoy it. So, dear friend, this brings to an end our lecture on the mystical message from the Stone of the Sun. Thank you, dear friend, so much for being here with us this evening, and may all beings be happy.